CliffCentral.com.
All right. It is Tuesday morning. We are here live with Lebang, with Mash, and with you. So let us know what you're up to. Send us a message on the YouTube comments. Like and subscribe, please, because that is what we need. I don't like to beg for things, but this is what they've told me I have to do. They keep saying, Gareth, you've got to ask people to like and subscribe. And I go, but I've done it a million times. They go, it's not enough. So you have to do it some more. Sorry.
Yep.
So damned irritating, but that's what you got to do to get the algorithm to love you and push you to the top. Interestingly enough, thanks to everybody on the show and the fact that they've been liking and subscribing, I saw our chart positions went from number 11 to number 4 in the first week, and then from number 4 to number 1, and it has stayed at number 1.
Wow.
We are at the top of the chart for South Africa Society and Culture, and we are number 4 on all podcasts at the moment. So that's great news.
Wow.
And that is because
that's worth celebrating.
It's because you like and subscribe. And when you write a really nice review, like, for example, Buddha7 via Apple Podcasts put this up and said, real intelligent analysis, commentary, and discussion, often extremely funny as well. I live in the UK, but I listen to this more than any other show. And I'm not even South African, although I do travel there. How nice is that?
That's lovely.
Oh, thank you, Buddha7.
Yeah, and then Lighthouse Barber said, please, please hook me up, guys. Gareth Simpiwe, Ryan Production, GCC, we just love the show. I'm waiting to download this morning's show. So people were complaining that the yesterday's podcast was up a little bit late. We have to be held to account. I love the way our audience don't tolerate any shit from us. It's just terrific. So thank you for all those people, and to all those people who have put reviews up, who've done all the work. This really makes it worth it for us. Then you know
what. And of course, thank you to the air fryer for also just existing. If it weren't for you, air fryer, we would not be here. Since he became a part of our lives,
Lebang is
life
right.
Has never been the same. I'm right.
You have been.
I'm absolutely right.
You have
Where
been,
did this all begin?
Yeah, you've been banging this air fryer drum for a while now. I'm not going to argue with you. You're right.
And it works. Yeah. Literally, every time somebody says air fryer on any show, y'all need to go like and subscribe.
And like,
look,
and subscribe.
In a short space of like, what, a month and a bit, look what we've done.
Mm-hmm.
So, air fryer.
Right.
Air fryer.
Air fryer works. It works.
It does.
Cunning stunt with one last compliment for the morning. It's not because we like and subscribe. It's because you guys are the best. Oh, that's so nice. That's so nice of you, Cunning Stunt. Thank you so much. All right, so
stuff I like it.
So while we're on the air fryer, I really wasn't going to talk about this very much, but I kind of have to, because if I don't kill it in its nest now, then it's going to become a thing by the end of the week. So it's another birthday for me on Friday, and I'm honestly doing nothing this year. I'm doing nothing.
Ah.
I'm doing nothing to celebrate. I'm making no fuss at all. I know. Just hold on to me, because I know where you're going with this, Mash. You know, it's fine when you're your age to celebrate birthdays. I don't really feel like I want to. And there's no – I'm not feeling sorry for myself. I'm not grumpy about getting older, any of that stuff. It's all very stoic, sensible. I'm happy with where I am in my life right now. I love being this age. I like what's going on. I love the people who I have in my life. Everything's good. So this is not coming from a grumpy old man place. I just don't want to do a party. Maybe I've had too many. Because, I mean, really, over the last 2 years of lockdown, I haven't really been a hermit. I haven't been boring. I haven't been sitting at home twiddling my thumbs. I'm not looking for entertainment. I've really had, you know, some good weekends in the last couple of months. So I don't feel any pressure or any need to do anything. Is that okay? And do you think people are going to think that I am grumpy, or that I don't like my birthday, or that I'm sad and depressed or something if I don't do something?
No, man. I don't think it's that deep. I think, like, it's your birthday. You really can just do whatever the hell you want. And if doing whatever the hell you want is doing nothing at all, you are absolutely allowed to. But just know, like most years, when you say you're not going to do, you know, anything, you end up doing at least a little bit of something. And the people around you will try to make sure something happens. Because from what I remember, when I met you last year and we first started working together, it was the exact same thing. Oh, guys, my birthday is coming up. I don't want to do anything. Please, guys, just leave me alone. I'm just going to hang back. Dude, we were like, fuck that. We did the whole thing in the office. We said cake. We said singing. We said, you know, we have to celebrate you even if you don't really feel like it. You know, so it's not going to be for you. It's for us to say, you know what? It's another year around the sun. Not many people make it this far, Gareth. You know, you've out-partied all of us. So in terms of the party thing, I agree. Let that go. It's done. It's over for you.
All right. Does this mean I have to come into the office on Friday?
Yes.
Yeah. Come to the office and bring tequila.
God, no.
Whoop, whoop.
Yeah. I mean, and also, I mean, Gareth, this is a big birthday as well. I mean, think about it. You've actually outlived most of your ancestors.
No, you're right. I mean, listen, that is a big deal. If you think about, like, historically, if you even made it to your late 30s, let alone your mid 40s, sure. And you've really, you have outlived. Because our ancestors were killed by all kinds of wild animals or by other hunter-gatherer aggressive tribes. I mean, you're right. Maybe it is worth celebrating. They would be horrified if I didn't make some kind of a noise about it. But I am. So I'm doing a dinner with my family on Friday night. But that's about it. That's all I got planned.
That sounds good, actually. That's very pleasant.
That could work.
You know what's always the best way to end your birthday? The best possible way. Buy a cake. Like a nice caramel cake, whatever your favorite cake is, not everybody likes caramel, and just eat it with a spoon. Just take that cake, get in bed, and eat it with a spoon.
That's nice and self-indulgent.
Well, get yourself some Chateau Gâteau. Make it sexy.
Sister-in-law bought a cake from there for my dad's birthday in July. It was a nice cake. I understand why people like cake, and it's always, I always thought, cake, whatever. But if it's a really good one, Anyway, Parallel Parking says, I baked bread in my air fryer for the first time yesterday, a garlic bread with onions and chilies. Shop bread is now dead to me. Air fryer. See? Parallel
that
Parking. Look at you.
Amazing. Can we get
Do you bake in your air fryer?
Yeah. Do I bake in it? No. Yeah. But people out there do. And I'd like the recipe for that garlic bread with the onions and chilies. That sounds amazing. Because bread is just expensive. But that sounds good.
I also
Gareth, what have you made there? Sorry, Matt. I'm yet to hear feedback from Gareth. So since I gave him the recipe, he's been quiet. This means he hasn't done anything.
I thought I'd start off with something that I couldn't screw up, right? So I did some of those oven-baked chips, you know, those like fries, right? And I did them.
Okay.
But they came out really boring. They came out like just a, you know when it's all just floury potato taste and there's no real. It didn't. I know it's me. It's not the air fryer. I just got to figure out.
Definitely. No, try something else like meat. Do just chicken. And remember, you said you like you're better with the steaks and the red meat and the blah blah blahs. That's like level 10. Putting chicken in an air fryer is level 2.
Oh really?
I promise you. Yes, it's so easy. Like when I'm having a braai and there's like too many people over or whatever, and like I don't want to actually have to braai the chicken on the braai stand. I literally just hoi it into the air fryer and it comes out. It's just so juicy. It's so juicy. Right. Gareth, please try it.
I'm just worried that my air fryer, because I didn't get a big one. It's just a little. I don't know if a chicken's gonna fit in there. Must I then?
It can be chicken pieces.
So I can cut it
up. A braai pack.
But also the size of air fryer you have does matter. It really does.
All right. All right, so this is all very important. You know, who knew we'd be talking about air fryers again? I think there's some people whose eyes are rolling in their heads.
I knew.
You knew.
I knew.
You brought it up.
I knew.
You can't help it. You're obsessed with air fryers.
I might be.
All right, so Lebang wants to know the answer to this question, and I wonder if we're in a position to answer it. Is South Africa ready for electric cars? Now, I know that George, who does, you know, he's the CEO of Auto Trader. He does a feature on our show. He does his own show. He's a big fan of electric vehicles. We've had Phil from DeWitt Motors on He's talked about how they're selling more and more electric vehicles all the time. We've spoken about all of this countless numbers of times, almost as many times as we speak about air fryers. But what is it that bothers you, Lebang? Like, why do you think we're not? Are you saying we're not ready, or are you saying we are?
I'm saying, are we? Question mark. Because, like, on one end, I'm seeing a lot of, like, my peers, you know, people that are my age mates or whatever, really making this decision as to whether they should buy a petrol vehicle or they should get an electric vehicle. And there's a lot of back and forth, like, yes, do this, don't do that. And what was interesting was people's, like, general take on it was, like, if you get an electric vehicle in South Africa, just know that it's not going to be safe, number one. If somebody pulls that thing out the charger, if you're charging at one of those public stations and they decide to charge theirs, you could be absolutely screwed. Others are saying all sorts of things just about how, you know, you need to start with the basics. Let's get, you know, let's fix the infrastructure. Let's do this, let's do that before we get to the point of electric vehicles.
Okay, so what do you think it is? There. What do you think it is about South Africans that will make it extra challenging?
Oh, come on.
They'll just pull your charger out and plug their own.
And that's when we even have power, because Eskom, nah. So
Exactly. But if I could afford it, I absolutely would. I won't lie to you. I would definitely buy an electric car. The only time I want to see petrol again is if I'm having to buy petrol for the generator. But I'm pretty much at the point where this stuff is just useless. It's annoying to keep putting this much money into my car every week. So maybe electric vehicles could just be the answer for me personally.
And, yeah.
Whether we're ready as a country is the other thing.
And also, I mean, in terms of Eskom as well, I think we should also start eliminating Eskom from that electric car conversation. Yes, load shedding. It's a part of our lives, guys. It's not an anomaly anymore.
Well,
it's not something that happens once in a while. It's a part of our lives. Let's live with it. Our phones are always charged despite load shedding, so we can keep our cars charged as well.
Anna Marie says, I love this, if you get a solar-powered car, it might work, but then you have to stay at home at night. Imagine if the sun could power a car completely, right? But you'd only be able to drive it during the day. I wonder how many people would want a car just for daytime driving. Because you'd save money, right? Yeah, there must be something.
I'd have a nice excuse for not going out.
Mash, you go out of your yard and go into your complex in a gown.
Yeah, exactly. You don't deserve an electric vehicle. Yonda says, South Africa is ready for EVs. We're again stuck in this backwards thinking. South Africans are also ready for this, and it's just an old person syndrome who's afraid of change. Okay. I mean, that's it. Listen, yes. Lebang asked, are we ready? She didn't say we're not or we are.
Yeah. You know?
So I think it's an interesting discussion. Also, you got to remember they are rolling out these charging ports all over South Africa. BMW in particular have got a huge network of these that they've put up all over the place. And, you know, we did the launch of the iX with them in a podcast series, among other things. And there is really a lot of work going on behind the scenes to make it all happen. So I do think we're a lot closer than many people think we are. Because then, you know, if you're not thinking about electric cars and you don't drive one, you don't know about this stuff. But it's all happening. It's very much happening. You only need to charge your car once or twice a week for 2 hours maximum, and that you can do at home or at the office or at the mall. Yes, all areas need more charges. So Yonder's on top of this, clearly. You know, there's no fooling some people. Ruth says, parallel parking. I want to try that one, which means that this is now, they're still going on about air fryers.
Of course they are.
Was
that the recipe? Yes. Let the dough rise for half an hour. Place an air fryer at 150 until perfect browns. Oh, and smear the top of your dough with egg yellow before baking for perfect top crust finish. Okay, taking notes. Going to try that this week.
No more, please, of this air fryer stuff. We've dedicated a whole 5 minutes to it now. It's enough. Thank you. Holy shit, really. I mean, come on. Mash, are you really interested in air fryers like this? It's only Lebang.
I am not.
No.
Maybe it's because I don't have one. Maybe once I get one, I'll change my mind. But until then, I'm not that into these air fryer things, y'all.
Okay, you'll take out your old pot and put it on your stove and just turn up the gas and
on a primer. We want to use a primer.
Yeah, I'll put on my primer. Yeah, get some brushing in there.
being stuck in the past, guys. If we're ready for electric vehicles, surely we're ready for air fryers. Come on, keep up with the times, yeah, guys.
Absolutely.
Come on.
All right, so Mash, why do you want to know about witchcraft? What's going on here? Why are you asking questions around the office about witchcraft? What are you trying to curse? Are you trying to curse somebody?
Hey, Nina. Happening? So I come from the Free State, as you guys know by now. I come from Kwakwa, and the thing with Kwakwa is not just Kwakwa actually, but with just black communities in Africa as a whole.
Yeah,
is that when somebody suddenly becomes successful, when somebody was just down and out, you know, and then just overnight, all of a sudden they're coming home and not just successful, but like wildly successful. They're kind of successful where it's like, ha!
Right.
Like you just look at them and like, ha, ha, ha. This person now has a Ferrari, they have a Porsche, they have a Bentley and all of that. That kind of successful. Whenever people see that, everyone just assumes that you're dabbling in witchcraft, that you have a snake, as they call it. Actually, they call it a mamlambo. A snake that basically you feed it whatever it wants. You feed it your wife. You feed it people or something like that. I'm not too sure about how it works, the mechanics of it. But all of a sudden, everyone assumes you have money. With that said, I have an aunt who this is actually happening to. And there's actually whispers and conversations throughout the family where they're saying, ha. How did this happen? How did that happen? You know? And we had another family member who was actually quite close to this aunt pass away. So now people are like,
was she the sacrificial lamb for your aunt?
So
be straight with me about this. So what you're thinking, and don't tell me, we're not going to judge. We're going to suspend judgment on this for the moment, right? So everybody who's going to hop in the comments and start saying, this is bullshit and nonsense, because that's going to happen. So Mash, are you trying to say that you think that this aunt is using witchcraft and that she has been outrageously successful because she's actually doing wicked things behind the scenes?
Basically.
Oh, wow. That's a hell of a claim to make.
Basically.
Hell of a claim to make.
Well, I am not saying this. Not me, myself. But other family members are. And there are quite some whispers throughout the family about this. And I'm just wondering, is this possible? Is this possible? Is this something that could be actually happening? Is this something that anyone else has witnessed happen before? Lebang, maybe you might have.
Bongi says the aunt is going to sacrifice Mash. That's what Bongi says.
Mash, you're next.
Sanele says,
you better hope your family's not listening.
That kind of success is not witchcraft. It is called a tender. Lebang, what do you say to this?
Look, I think witchcraft is a very old thing. I mean, growing up, do you remember watching, what were those three sisters with the black cat, Sabrina and whatever?
It's not a new thing. Whatever that was.
I mean, witchcraft has been around for centuries all over the world, dude. It's not new. It's just within the South African context. It's always put out as an ugly thing. It's always put there as like, you know, anything to do with that is yucky. And definitely, Charm, that was the name of the show.
Charm.
I think witchcraft definitely exists. There's a lot of naughty people out there, and I use naughty in inverted commas. There's a lot of evil, wicked people who see other people succeeding and they get jealous. So they will go to people and they'll say, hey, put a curse on that one because I don't want them to win. I don't want them to succeed, et cetera. So there's a lot of things that happen in the spiritual realm which are bigger than us, which are beyond us, and I am no expert in this field, so I'm not willing to, you know, unpack it. But what I will tell you is that if you suspect that there's an aunt of yours who participates in any witchcraft, you better fucking run, my boy. That is what I'm going to tell you because it's hot outside.
Yes. And I mean, I do remember my first, actually, I'm going to say interaction.
Why is it always
exposure,
why is it always an aunt?
it's, Gareth, it's always a rakhadi or a malume. An aunt or an uncle, I'm telling
always.
You. I'm telling you.
Always. Sorry, always, so I interrupted you, Mash. You were saying?
Yes, I mean, my first exposure, or rather, my first exposure to the entire concept and the entire topic, especially in terms of people just becoming wildly successful overnight, was actually when I was watching Generations. A lot of references to the old generations today. I wonder what's happening, but I remember there was a woman who basically had a snake, and they called it Mamlambo, and the snake kept demanding things from her. It kept demanding all types of things. For example, it wanted to sleep with her, the snake. It wanted to get rid of her husband, the snake. And these are all it sounds out of this world. But these things are sort of rooted in reality. And there are people who full-heartedly believe these things.
Yeah.
Full-heartedly. Keep snakes in their homes and stuff like that. But I'm very skeptical. I'm a little bit skeptical. So
no, I'm a total skeptic. So for me, I just laugh at this stuff because I really, if you don't, and I always, I mean, to me, if you don't believe in this stuff, it's got zero chance of affecting you. But if you do believe in it, and I do think that there are a lot of people in South Africa who believe all kinds of things, and I'm not going to be the one who says that's nonsense or it's, I just don't believe in it. So if there's some Rakhadi somewhere who's planning and plotting against me, great, go for it. I'm really not concerned. It's like, I'll move into a haunted house. I don't care. If it's a nice house and it's going cheap, I'll move into a haunted house. I'm not scared of ghosts.
Yeah.
Because I don't believe in
them.
You know
what they say, the best way to get rid of spirits in a haunted house is be atheist. And nothing's going to come for you. So, yeah.
Correct. So, I mean, I get this, but now I'm being serious. What I like, though, is to not be serious about this and to think about what if. What if it's true, right? And what if...
Yes.
Because we know that in all parts of the world, there have been people who have done, like, stuff. Occultism, witchcraft, spells, potions, muti, you know, the difference between a sangoma and an umtagati. And we know that there are all these things that are going on. And there are loads of people who believe in them. And if someone believes in something, they really believe in it. It tends to be a reality for them. They manifest that reality in their life, even if to the rest of the world it sounds like nonsense. So, I mean, in the 1600s in Europe, people really believed that there were witches running around and flying around on brooms. You remember there was a story not so long ago in Swaziland that the Swazi Aviation Authority, the guys who actually control the flight patterns of, you know, incoming and outgoing air traffic controllers and so on, they actually made a rule that witches were not allowed to fly above a certain height on their brooms, because they were worried that they would crash into planes. And this was a serious thing. They actually made a rule in Swaziland. So this is now. This is not that long ago. I think there are still loads of people who believe in this stuff. And yes, there are going to be those of us who laugh at them, but for them, it's real. For them, it's totally real.
It's real. You know what, Gareth? I spent most of my life absolutely not believing in any of it. Like, all I was taught was, like, the Bible, and that was it for me in terms of, like, what spirituality is. And I left it at that. But as I grew older, I started getting quite curious about a few things. I'm like, okay, cool. I want to know more about ancestry. I want to know more about, you know, just the spiritual realm as a concept. And my eyes were literally opened to this exact conversation. Some people believe these things because for them, that is their reality. Mm-hmm. These things are real. There's lightning in their backyard. If you speak ill of them, they'll just go get that lightning and zoop, it'll zap you. And then I said to myself, could all of these people who believe this stuff really all just be wrong? Are they all just believing bollocks? I mean, if you think about Limpopo, Mash, we know Limpopo, the PR Limpopo is known for one thing and one thing only. I mean, you know, are they all making it up? You know, are they all... So the deeper you go into this,
you know who
the
we must
more
talk
you
to?
Actually see that the stuff exists, bro.
We've got to talk to Mum Jane about Limpopo because she knows.
Yes.
She's from there. And you sometimes you see some things and you're like, you can't explain what you've seen because it's not of the, you know, of this plane. But there's a plane up there, a spiritual one where you can explain it.
Andy says, I would love a flying broom. I would save on petrol, damn it. That's a good point.
I hear that.
Very I need one, too.
There we
I
go.
Hear I need that.
Who
to each their own. The truth, yeah, the more you get into that rabbit hole, ish, the deeper you get, the trickier it gets. So if you know you can't handle that, just leave it alone.
Peter rightly said, if you believe in it, it will influence you. Crock of shit. Well, you don't believe in it, Peter, that's but for true. Those people who do, it's a big thing.
Mm.
And you know that these people, for example, who they won't go near graveyards, or they won't, if someone has buried something at their front door, they won't go into that house, for example. And you get these people who genuinely live this way, like every day for them is about this stuff. And they consider that more important than, you know, your job or your marriage or anything else, because this stuff is, as Lebang puts it, from the spiritual realm. So obviously we can knock it and say it's outrageous and it's silly and it's ridiculous. But for people who live for this stuff and where that's their reality, you can't just ignore it.
You have to protect yourself, because it's not what you can see. It's what you can't see. That's what you should fear.
Yeah, and nowadays
energies are loud, man.
And I mean, I'm also surrounded by so many people who are going through the calling, uktwasa, nowadays as well, and it's happening to like almost every third person I know.
My brother and sister-in-law, their domestic worker is she's twasad, she's done her whole thing, she's a sangoma now, and. I like joked with them the other day. I'm like, you've got, extra protection now at your house, because now you've got a real life sangoma who works with you and looks after the kids and so on, you know, so they're going to be protected. When a suspect evades the police, they say that suspect has got muti. You know, this is what people say in South Africa. So obviously you can say, oh, well, this is ridiculous. But if people are saying this and we don't learn to understand and try to understand as much of it as possible, then we don't get why certain people are getting away with things and other people are not, and why the police maybe are less likely to act on one thing and more likely to act on the other. Because believe me, there are going to be police people, men and women, who believe this stuff as well. There are going to be people in politics who believe this stuff. You know, a lot of people said that part of the reason that Jacob Zuma kept getting away with all the things he was getting away with as president is because he had very powerful muti on his side. Right?
Yes.
People were saying this. So isn't it better to know that that's what people think, even if you think it's nonsense? It makes it a whole lot more interesting. Yeah. Mm. What if the answer?
Yeah, it's just trying to understand it. And also, I think like the idea of like sangomas and, you know, how it's viewed in South Africa, or maybe even within an African context, is kind of like put in a negative light when you think about how it's viewed, you know, in other parts of the world. In other parts of the world, like if you need help, it's like called a healer, or you're going to go see a shaman, or you're going to go see guru. When you go to South Africa, it's like, witchcraft.
To me, I see it all, it's all part of the same. Like there are these crystal healers and these people who do, chakra realignments. And that's exactly the same stuff as what...
It's the same thing.
This is what a sangoma is supposed to
be. It literally is.
Really?
It literally is.
To me, there's no difference. Mm. You can't say one is even stupider than the other. As far as I'm concerned, they're all pretty stupid. But that's just me. I mean, there are lots of people who don't think it's stupid.
There's a girl that sent me a DM not so long ago. She had gone to see someone. So I was like, okay, what person did you go see? And the person that she had gone to see was a qualified consulting hypnotist.
Oh, yeah.
Right? Ooh. So this lady, you go to her. She freaking reads your what, you put your palms out, your energies, your chakras, and this is her 9 to 5. Her 9 to 5 is to sit there and tell you if your life is going to be great or if your life is going to go to shit. But she's so professional about it. She's a qualified consultant, what. It's the same damn thing, bro.
It's like,
it's like going to light some incense.
It's like the psychic or the astrologer or the tarot card reader, any of those things.
Yes.
And you know what? You could have in your own family, you think, oh, well, I don't fall for this crap. There could be someone in your family who believes in that stuff and absolutely goes 100% with it. And if someone says, today you shouldn't go outdoors because there are bad spirits and they will zero in on you. Some people will actually not go out of the house. You know, there are these people who believe Friday the 13th is very unlucky, or that if you walk under a ladder, or if you see a black cat or an owl, then it means this or it means that. You know what people are like? They like like believing in this stuff.
Yeah, and my family believes it wholeheartedly. They took me to a sangoma a while ago, and the sangoma said that I actually have socks.
What? You have what?
Mesh.
You have what?
I have lots of socks. There's like one sock missing. And I was like, doesn't everyone? That's what I thought to myself. That's a fair observation.
Yeah.
Of course I have socks where there's one sock missing. And that is the entire thing. That's what I
But what does it mean?
What does it mean?
What
Mesh?
Does the missing sock represent?
He told me something about somebody's out for me. Somebody's out for me. I think that's what it was. So I have missing socks, and that means that somebody's out for me, and that obviously I should come back for more consultations and buy
of course,
tea and
of course
that.
You must come back.
Always.
That's the problem with these guys.
Always,
always
more.
A business. Like,
yeah, ka-ching. Yeah. Even ka-ching, the, even the,
ka-ching.
I love the way these guys, they're from the spiritual realm, right? They're from the, but they always need money. They always
always.
You've got to come for another consultation because otherwise
one
we can't
is not
help
enough.
You. Yeah.
We need to tell you now you've got missing socks, but guess what? There's something about your pants, but I'm not going to tell you about your pants today. You can only find out if you come back for another consultation.
On Dragon Ball Z. Well, they'll even be like, yeah, you're going to be very successful in life, but you must actually do a little ritual. And this ritual, you must come to me with an exact amount of money, 1,000 rand multiplied by your age. So if you're 20, 27,000 is how much you must come here with.
There was that story in March or April of this year. Remember, there was that story about someone who'd taken her entire pension and all of her savings, and she'd given it to a sangoma who said to her, if you give it to me, I will multiply its value by 10. And she believed it completely. Of course, this person ran away with all of her money, and this poor old lady was left with nothing. Yeah, I mean...
You can't believe everything you hear, especially from, you know, some of these people. There are really good people out there who want to help you. And you go there honestly and you are just trying to fix your lives, very few, but they exist, who will tell you, okay, cool, this is what you need to do. And then if you follow those rules, things start to work out for you, whatever. But there's too many that are scammers, that are taking chances, that will tell you things like you have missing socks and things like that, and will just want you to keep coming back. You have to be careful what you believe, because they will just tell you whatever that they want you to hear. And they kind of working on your insecurities.
Absolutely.
Is what I recently discovered as well. Is that just find your a bit of weakness, and they'll tap into that, and then they'll just go, more money.
So you haven't been able to make any money for the last 5 years. Well, I'll tell you what, there's a blockage here, and we'll be able to unblock that. Or they say to you, your relationships are suffering. That's because you haven't unlocked this thing, and I'll help you unlock it. You know, that's a very sexy proposition to some people. They're like, okay, so it wasn't my fault. There's something blocking me. I can figure this out. Let me make it happen.
Yes.
And I just have to say, for all the very skeptical people, because I know, you know, just look at the comment section. A lot of people are like, oh, please, this is such bullshit.
Very, very skeptical.
The fact is, there have been very, very clever people throughout history who have fallen for this stuff. You know, Julius Caesar was regularly consulting the augurers and the soothsayers. Howard Hughes used to do these rituals. He was obsessive compulsive. He used to pee in bottles. He'd wash his hands 500 times a day. People do these things, no matter how successful or clever they are. They reach a point where they feel that there's something in their life that they can't explain or understand. It must be in the spiritual realm. And someone sees the gap and comes in and starts giving them the answers they're looking for. And when that starts happening, people are willing to pay. And that charlatan, usually it's a charlatan, makes a ton of money off of them. That's how it works. All right, so
rinse and repeat.
Let's change tack here. We're going to talk about wellness. We're going to talk to Lisa Raleigh, who is a certified personal trainer, nutrition coach, author, and a life coach who's built a successful wellness empire. And I'm always impressed with people who manage to actually do good in the world, who actually manage to help other people, and who manage to make a successful business of it at the same time. And I think that Lisa's been able to do this in an incredible way. We're going to find out about her business journey, and we'll find out about where wellness is going, because it's now, you know, it used to be like physical health, and that was something that was partly your doctor's responsibility, partly your own responsibility, bit of exercise, eating right. But wellness has become so much bigger now, and we've got to talk to Lisa about this and all kinds of other things. So Mash and Lebung, let's welcome Lisa Rally to the show. Hey Lisa, how are you doing?
Hey Gareth, I'm good, thanks. How are you?
Good, nice to see you, and welcome to the show.
Yes.
Been a long time coming.
Thank you.
Tell us, tell us about your whole business journey, because I think that's always interesting to people, and it gives them some perspective on where you started and where you've come from.
Sure. I mean, I've been in the industry for about 20 years, so I started really young. I knew exactly what I wanted to do. You know, out of school, I knew I wanted to work with people. I wanted to work in the sort of fitness, nutrition, so I studied that, went overseas, came back, and very shortly after that started a mobile personal training business. Mm-hmm. And then went into brick and mortar, and I had a couple of those gyms, and soon after that I got a big break. Not every like personal trainer gets a big break, but I did get a TV break, which helped to catapult things into the media. Mm-hmm. And I did that for quite a long time. And only about 5 years ago did I start a new kind of angle to my business, which is all around bounty with rebounding, exercising on a mini trampoline. And that became my modality of choice. And I started helping people to that, you know, normally would not be able to exercise, be able to exercise on a low impact surface. So yeah, my whole business has taken a bit of an angle, helping people with wholeness, holistic well-being, exercise, DNA, nutrition, happiness, all of that. But a big part of what we do is the rebounding side of things now, as well as an athleisure brand. So yeah, it's been a journey.
All right, so let's just, I want to pause for a moment on the trampolines. Who doesn't love a trampoline?
Cool.
What does it actually do, though? I mean, it sounds great. As a kid, yeah. I used to think a trampoline was the most cool thing ever. I used to beg and beg and beg, and my parents never got me one. But are you talking about these little trampolines that anyone can buy and you could put in a small room in your house, or even if you have a small balcony on your apartment or something, you can train on that?
Absolutely. So a rebounder is a mini portable trampoline. So, you know, you say everybody loves to bounce. Why did we ever stop? Because it is just so good for your health. So the most important thing about rebounding is the fact that it is low impact. So it's 70 to 80% less impact than training on land. So if you've got a back problem or neck problem or knee or foot, trust me, we see it all. It's amazing because you can exercise on that, whereas you can't skip or do CrossFit or any of those kinds of exercises anymore, even run. So yeah, it's portable, it's effective, it's mobile, it's amazing. It's a very fun way to exercise and very effective.
Okay, so you kind of already hinted at how wellness has become this overall umbrella term for a lot of things that people have to do now to look after themselves. I don't think there's anyone in the world who isn't aware of how far we've come in terms of wellness. A lot of people talk about nutrition. A lot of people talk about exercise. A lot of people talk about, you know, spending time meditating or whatever it might be. All of these kind of come into the wellness discussion. And I'm sure there are loads of people, particularly after COVID, when we were all trapped in our houses and we were trying to figure out ways to keep ourselves not only physically healthy, but also mentally healthy. Have you seen business boom since then? And what are people most interested in?
Absolutely. I mean, I think wholeness is probably the new buzz term as opposed to wellness. Wellness is quite diverse. It is this whole holistic term now. It's not just about, you know, moving a little bit more, eating a little bit less, creating that calorie deficit. It's become a lot more complex than that. And when we look at somebody's wholeness, we unpack all the aspects. So, you know, sleep is a huge focus area. Digestion and gut biome is important. We even go into the science now of checking all of our clients' genetics, like their DNA. You know, what are you predisposed to? What does your DNA say about you? And let's make sure that we create a bespoke eating plan, supplementation plan, training program according to your DNA so we can set you up for success. We look into people's happiness. you know, their lifestyle and creating opportunities for them to exercise within their lifestyle. So it's trying to make it very bespoke, setting people up for success, and making it very unique to each individual. This whole blanket approach, kind of here's a blueprint, follow this, you know, from a magazine, has become really old school. And having this really unique approach to your well-being has become like the new thing, so that you can almost, in a way, guarantee your results. Mm. So that's where we've been focusing on.
So Lisa, this was particularly interesting to me because I took my mother to chemo a couple of weeks ago, and like when we walked out of her session, I particularly remember like the lady at the counter was like, okay, if there's any exercises that you guys, you know, want to look into this kind of thing. And I was just like, what is this thing? So when I was told that you're actually going to be on the show, I was like, this is exciting because then I can ask you personally face to face. What are like the direct benefits, like a cancer patient, cool, and rebounding as a form of wellness? Because when I look from the outside looking in, I'm like, okay, my mom's going to just be jumping on a trampoline. And I don't think that's like, that can't be the thing, right? Like what are the actual benefits that somebody would get if they're, you know, a recovering cancer patient?
Okay. So we've actually just recently been endorsed by the Cancer Association of South Africa. And this has been an incredible thing for our company because, you know, rebounding is really effective at moving the lymphatic system around the body. So if you know anything about lymph fluid is, there's three times more lymph fluid in our body than there is blood, but there is no natural pump. So our blood has a heart, our lymphatic system has no pump. So it really is up to us to pump our lymph up and down all day long. And there's nothing more effective at doing that than something that's vertical and something that works sort of against gravity. So rebounding, if you think about the mat surface being your new surface, you're actually bouncing below the mat surface. So it's four times the G-force of gravity, which is incredible. So what it does is it actually forces those lymph ducts open and close, and it pumps the lymphatic system around the body, the lymph around the lymphatic system, which then helps to detoxify the body and improve one's immune system. So that's what has been so incredible, is to see so many cancer patients that are currently undergoing treatment, as well as those that are in remission, being able to rebound. And that doesn't mean jumping like crazy, you know, those TikToks that go viral. I get sent them on a daily basis where people's, you know, knees are by their ears and they're holding onto this bar, and it's right, this crazy intense rebounding. Mm. It's kind of giving rebounding a bad rap. It's not that. It's compressions into the rebounder so light that your feet don't even need to leave the mat. It's a pumping motion that helps to stimulate that lymphatic system and rid the body of toxins out through the kidneys and through urine. So it's really good if somebody's undergoing treatment, if somebody needs to really focus on detoxifying, cleaning the lymphatic system, so to boost one's immune system, especially if they are undergoing treatment.
I always assume that when you talk about this stuff, it's like those people who are jumping and doing somersaults in the air, and I'm thinking, poor Lebung's mom, she doesn't want to be doing that. That's, first of all, she's going to land on her neck and hurt herself even more. You're just talking about like gentle up and down and maybe doing some stuff, what, with weights as well, or like turning, you know, getting some flexibility in your joints, that sort of thing. I mean, how does it actually, do you start?
No. Okay, so starting, I mean, we have lots of different programs under the Bounty sort of platforms. We have a foundation program which actually asks you to hold onto a support bar, and the movements are very slow, lots of double bouncing, you know, in and out, forward and back, lifting one leg at a time, like calf raises, really pumping that lymph and focusing on the foundations, the fundamentals, and keeping it very, very slow, very basic for those that have just recovered from an illness or surgery, postpartum, cancer, you know, autoimmune diseases, things like that, right up to HIIT classes on a rebounder for those people that love HIIT training, but their knees are shot. You know, they're really suffering from that high impact work. They are now in pain all the time. And we've kind of been conditioned to think that exercise has to be no pain, no gain. Like if it doesn't hurt, right, if you're not sore the next day, then it's not working. But that is a really old mentality. And I have focused for a very long time on exercise that heals and not harms. Because to be honest, there's a lot of exercise when you do it too much, when you like running too hard, too long, doing too much cardiovascular exercise, you're working with very heavy weights in a very explosive way. Those exercises harm you, especially if you're like 35 years old plus. You can't train like that in your 30s, 40s, and beyond. You have to modify things and keep things low impact. So, yeah, there's a huge spectrum of what you can do on a rebounder, from the basics through to intense, intense workouts with weights, resistance bands, weighted balls, hydro balls, cordless skipping ropes, all kinds of apparatus, but you're taking almost like your personal training workout onto a low-impact surface.
But, like, Lisa, what if, and I'm sorry to be controversial, but what if, like, I have found my ideal, you know, exercise, and this is what I'm sticking to? What if I just want to swim every day for 3 minutes and just do cardio? What if I just want to be in the gym, you know, lifting weights every day? What if that is what I'm choosing and I'm cool with it? Are you saying if I don't, you know, add a different layer of, you know, of, in this case, rebounding, then in later years I'll regret it? Is you know, from your experience, is that what you're saying?
Yeah. So for me, consistency is key. So if you have found the thing that is going to get you up in the morning and keep you consistent, keep you showing up time after time, that needs to be your thing. I'm very cool with that. The thing that a lot of people forget is that if you keep doing the same thing, you're going to kind of keep getting the same results. So you could plateau quite soon. So it's important to mix things up. And something that we are trying to educate people about is the health benefits of rebounding. So the lymphatic stimulation side of rebounding, the how it improves one's bone density, lean muscle tissue, gets the lymphatic system stimulated, which so many people don't realize the importance of that. So in between your gym days, in between your swimming days, in between your running days, you just have a rebounder next to your desk. I mean, most of us are sitting at our desk for too many hours in a day. Put it next to you, and every hour on the hour, get onto it and do your minutes of high knees or jogging or side to side or jumping jacks. Get your lymph stimulated, sit back down at your desk. Or do it for 5 minutes a day whilst watching Netflix or whilst you're about to jump into the shower. Use it as a health modality intervention and not necessarily a form of exercise. It doesn't have to be considered that way.
So it could also,
so Lisa,
it could be exactly what Lebang's saying, and like another layer. Sorry, Mash, go ahead.
Yeah.
Lisa, I just want to find out one thing. It's actually very important to me. I want to find out, do you believe in cheat days?
Absolutely. I miss balance, you know what I mean? I do believe in cheat days. I don't think that you should go all out and have one day where you completely overload the body, like your lymphatic system, your kidneys, your liver, where you drink way too much, you eat way too much sugar, too many carbs. I think it's putting your body under a lot of stress that's unnecessary. I do think that there is a way to be balanced all the way through the week. So if you think about the fact that you would eat 35 times in a week, okay, 7 days a week, 5 meals a day. If you had to look at that and say, I'm allowed 5 slightly unhealthier options throughout the course of 35 meals, so whether it's a big bowl of popcorn, a pizza, you know, a glass of wine, a chocolate bar, whatever, over 35 meals, only 5 of those are considered cheats or treats, and the rest of them are very nutritionally dense, they're balanced, they're full of protein, your plant-based, options, your alternatives. I really feel that there's this huge thing like all or nothing, extreme. It's like, you know, why do we have to live like that when we could actually live with a more balanced mindset, one that is a bit more sustainable and long-term? So I've always tried to advocate that with all of my programs over the years, that guys, let's get away from this feast or famine mindset. You're either on diet or you binge eat something.
I think that's so sensible. I mean, I'm no expert. I'm not nearly as good at this as you are, Lisa, and you've been studying it, and you've got clients, and you've put it into practice, and obviously you've created this business out of it too. I mean, the world of wellness, and particularly like personal training, is hugely competitive, right? How do you actually break through the noise and become one of those people? Because, I mean, I've got friends and family who've done personal training as a job, and it's a tough business. You have to know your stuff. You have to deliver the results. And sometimes your client doesn't help you because they are lazy. How do you break through the noise and actually make it as a personal trainer and then get to do all the other things that you do now? We can't hear you for some reason. Don't know what's happened. Your mic just went dead. Lisa,
you hear me now?
There we go.
Yes.
You're back. Yeah.
Can you hear me now? Okay. Cool. You know, in this day and age, it's like every second person is a wellness expert, like every influencer on social media. If you've got a good body, in fact, the least clothes you wear, the better kind of vibe, and then you'll get all the followers. And I think for me, it's just been about staying true to who I am and being authentic and giving a good message, adding like enormous value to the people that decide to follow me, decide to adopt my philosophy, and staying incredibly focused. Like over the last few years, I have been very focused on the message that I'm trying to portray. I'm trying to educate and inspire and empower people to take ownership of their health, that they're actually in more control than they think they are. So for me, a big thing has been focus on the rebounding, focus on what you know missing out there, and creating an important a message. There's been a massive wellness movement over the last 2 years since COVID. There's a huge opportunity for those in this industry. And yes, there's a lot of competitors out there doing similar things. For me, it's being different and having something, a competitive edge in a way, something that nobody else seems to be focusing on, and having a very, very strong message that doesn't waver. And I haven't wavered for years. It's like, this is my message. I'm staying focused. Right. I'm not going to be distracted by the noise. Because I don't see it as competitive. I look at it and say, I'm so deadly focused. I try and kind of cut out the clutter. That's been my big thing.
Do you agree with this? I'm going to put something up on the screen now. It's a picture of a hippopotamus. It says, what can we learn from a hippopotamus? That it is impossible to reduce weight by eating green grass and salads and walking. Do you agree with that?
Well, yeah, I don't think walking is going to be enough. I think a lot of people think that is, it's funny, by the way, thanks, Jared, but it's, walking is definitely not enough. I see this all the time. Clients say, but I walk 5Ks a day, I walk 10Ks a day, and I try and explain to them, oh my goodness, that you have to increase your heart rate to, you know, a very high, so that let me explain, the new norms, right, is 150 minutes of exercise in a week. But this is not movement. It's exercise. It has to qualify as exercise by having your heart rate up to 80% of your maximum. Now, that is intense. I mean, to work that out, you would take 220, whoever's listening out there, 220, less your age, and that would be your max. And you need to be working at 80% of that for 30 minutes at a time, 5 days a week, for it to be classified as exercise. I mean, very few people do that.
No, that's incredible.
So that's important, is, you know, the intensity of the exercise. There's your incidental exercise, which is movement, which is important. And then there is real exercise, one that's classified as exercise, which gets your heart muscle pumping and your heart muscle strong. And then with regards to the nutrition side of things, I don't believe in just eating plants. I believe in eating more plants. I don't try and tell everybody to be a vegetarian or to be vegan. I don't think it's sustainable for a lot of people. Mm. But if we can all just eat more plants and eat less meat and focus a little bit more on the nourishment of our bodies, like respecting our bodies a little bit more and understanding that we can't put rubbish in and expect an amazing result. We have to put good quality nutrients in. Just eat more plants, guys. Eat a little bit less meat, and the world wouldn't be in the state that it is today if everybody took ownership and said, I'm going to eat 30% less meat in a week, and that's the only change I'm going to make. That would make a massive difference to the environment.
I was totally on your side until you said that, because now I can't listen to anything more.
But Gareth, it's not so hard. Like eating a little bit less meat. You know, having meat on tap is not natural. Having bacon for breakfast, having tuna for lunch, and having chicken for dinner, three times the meat you're eating some kind of animal protein, is not okay. You know, but having less, having maybe, you know, meat at two meals of the day, or an animal protein at two versus three meals
two.
A day.
I could do two. Yeah, cut all right.
Back.
Yeah,
okay. We'll start slowly. We'll take it from there. But Lisa, it's really dope that you actually have been able to just like keep your business running even after COVID. Like, what are some tips that you can share, especially for some of us who are like just women trying to maintain a business, trying to get the business to grow? You mentioned that you had like an X factor, which is what made you different from all the other wellness coaches. You know, just running a business in general, what are some of the things that you've seen that, you know, you can say you can pass down to some of us who are trying to your level, for example?
Okay, well, I think number one is have some kind of differentiating factor. So for me, it's been focusing on the rebounding, which is the one major part of the business. But then also, I've got a beautiful athleisure brand that is quite unique to South Africa. We bring in a lot of South African artists. We focus on the diversity of women's physiques. So the Bodykind and Balenci are two very different brands, but they both serve a very specific like need. So focus number one. We have made lots of mistakes. Eh? I mean, we have had supply chain issues over COVID. Sure. We have failed many, many times. But I fail quickly. So that has been an important thing. Is like, okay, we're going to fail, but now we need to quickly pivot, move fast. Mm. So if you're going to fail, just make sure that you pick it up quickly. So failing quickly is important. And also not having all your eggs in one basket. So we import a lot of goods from overseas, things that we can't manufacture here yet in South Africa. There's not the technology yet, but we will get there. But we also manufacture a lot here, and we have a diverse range of products. And so for me, it's been not having all your eggs in one basket, because as COVID showed us, things happen. Things can change very quickly, and just like that, you lose it all. So we have focused on making sure that we have lots of different suppliers in different countries, so that if one thing falls flat, we can pick it up on this side. We've had to do that so many times over the last 2 years. And then I do have a really good support structure, to be quite honest. Like, the team that I have around me are handpicked. I'm very selective with who I have around me in my space. And I have a wicked, wicked team. People that are really good at the things that I'm not good at. So I know what I'm not good at, okay, like admin and process and procedures and back office and all of that stuff that is revolting for somebody like me who's a creative and loves people. So I have, you know, hired and contracted people that really complement and augment what I do. And for me, that's been a lesson that I had to learn quite a while ago, is what are you not good at? And surround yourself with people that are good at that. And don't be scared to put up your hand and say, I'm actually really crap at this. And just get people in your corner that are good at that. Because you do what you do well, and focus on what you do and do it well, and try not to do the things that you're not good at. It's just clutter. It's distracting. It takes a lot of time. You're going to learn your lessons fast. So that's been important. I have an amazing team that support me in what I do.
Yeah. Listen, thank you for being on our team this morning, and I think there's some really great stuff that you've taught us about. I didn't even know rebounding was a thing. I'm delighted to hear it. I think it's something that a lot of people, someone in the comments earlier said, oh no, now I'm going to have to go and buy a trampoline. So I suppose this is what
yes,
happens.
Yeah, they do.
Got to start somewhere.
Yeah, thank you.
All right, I love it. Lisa, thank you.
Come to class.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Okay.
But yeah, about that.
Yeah.
But
thank you. No, thank you very much for being on the show, and thanks for your advice this morning. It's really good to hear from you. All right, Mash.
Thank you, Lisa. Thank you.
Lebang and Lisa and everybody else, we will see you tomorrow at 6 a.m. Have an excellent day, everybody. Cheers. CliffCentral.com.